Welcome back, all you DC fans, to Your Universe. This is episode number 73, recorded on December the 1st, 2019. We are in the last month of 2019. The last month. We made it, Carrie.
Last month of the decade.
That's right. We finally made it. And 2020 brings so many new challenges and so many new exciting things. Hopefully for most of us on great things. But I am Mike, and that awesome angelic voice you heard earlier was Carrie. What's up?
I don't know about angelic, but I'm good.
Awesome.
I'm good. Yeah.
Awesome. And you want to know anything else about us, you can join us in Discord. So check that out, everybody. Go to randomchat.com/Discord to know how you can be a part of that awesome channel and talk to all the hosts and all the this wonderful episode we're going to discuss here. You can also find all of us on Twitter. You can look, I'm not going to get the whole spiel because, Carrie, they should know we're 73 episodes in, right?
I would hope they know by now.
We would hope. But in case you're just joining us, you can find us on Twitter, at Random Chatter, at the DC Fanboy. Carrie, what about you? Where can they find you?
You can find me at CarrieBlackfire42. That's K-E-R-I Blackfire42.
That's right. Anything else about our show, you can find it at randomchatter.com for all our other shows. This week, before we get into our quote of the week and our news, Carrie, I have a confession to make.
Uh-oh.
Out of the 4 issues of Kingdom Come, guess how many I have read this week?
All 4?
2.5.
Ooh.
That's an amazing storyline.
Did I not tell you that it was gorgeous?
Superman builds a prison because there's a ton of meta superheroes that don't know how to control their powers.
But
I'm only 2.5 in, so don't spoil the ending for me. What did I tell you
about just how gorgeous every single page is?
Oh, it's beautiful. The last thing I remember in the storyline is Batman shaking hands with Lex Luthor.
Yeah, well, there's an explanation for that too.
Yep, it's Batman. There's always an explanation.
Of course, I actually finished reading Crisis on Infinite Earths.
What did you think?
I thought it was good. I really want to know who they're substituting for what.
Yep. That's been my question for a while now. I wonder what they get to do.
And then because I had the time, and you know, cuz you know, Thursday I didn't do much of anything. I also read The Final Night.
Ooh.
Which was the crossover they did in 1996 or 97. I only read the 4 issues plus the Parallax one shot, which is basically this is how Hal Jordan goes out.
Oh wow.
Back in the 90s.
Hmm.
And I mean, he got better obviously eventually. But it's also the seeds of how Oliver Queen came back to life back in the 90s as well.
Ooh.
So,
and for all the people who are wondering, superheroes never stay dead. We'll get into that when we get to Titans later.
Yes, we will.
But I did see a rumor that, I can't remember his name now. The guy who plays Ray Palmer, the Atom.
Brandon Routh.
Yes, Brandon Routh said that his Kingdom Come Superman in Crisis on Infinite Earths is going to have a major impact on Crisis. I don't know how.
Oh, good.
I don't know why, but there is a rumor. We'll know in just 1 week, but we're not there yet. Instead, here's an awesome DC movie quote, or DC quote of the week is this, and it's taken straight from this week's episode of Titans, so if you haven't seen it, skip forward by like 15 seconds. Here we go. Donna... And Dawn says, why is he looking at me like that? And Donna says, probably because you're dressed like a giant bird. Dum-da-dum. If you don't know what that means, you have to watch Titans. So.
Nice.
All right. Well, with all that being said, Miss Carrie, are you ready to head into some news?
I am.
All right. Well, let's do it.
Okay. Oh, I guess I'm first, isn't it? Well, this one, in the category of this is a no-brainer, Crisis on Infinite Earths is going to have a cliffhanger for the mid-season break. Duh.
Right. I mean, it's not like it, like, I mean, I know, I just...
because we're getting the first three episodes of the crossover, and then there's going to be two more episodes in January, so yeah, there's gonna be a cliffhanger. Yeah, but by the way, this is something I just found as I was perusing other things, because I only half listen to Mike sometimes. Sorry, Mike. But it looks like there might be some sort of time jump after Crisis is finished. I don't see, which also makes perfect sense.
Yeah.
But they haven't. I'm just trying to skim through this article right now, and they're just theorizing at the moment. But it's possible we could see a bit of a time jump, especially considering that Batwoman has pretty much been catching up to the rest of the shows this season.
And keep in mind that. So I'll kind of say this now, speaking of Crisis, whatever shows that you see this week on CW is the final episode before Crisis starts. So Crisis starts next week.
Yes.
So Batwoman has their mid-season finale tonight before the Crisis episode. Supergirl as well. And then you have Flash, Arrow, Black Lightning. They're all playing this week. So that'll be really that'll be good.
Yeah, apparently... Yeah, I mean, this is kind of duh to get a bit considering what we've been talking about, but apparently they've confirmed that Brandon Routh is actually playing Golden Era Superman.
Ooh.
So that's like 1930s, 40s.
Right.
Superman.
That's right. I'm looking forward to Crisis. I mean, this is like the biggest
thing. I am still looking forward to this.
In a while. I mean, this is just, I mean, this is it. So, it's 1 week. But, yeah, we obviously assume there's going to be a cliffhanger. Even though, so Mark Guggenheim really didn't have to say that. It's not like that they wouldn't make it a cliffhanger. But.
Yeah.
Anyways, there's no DC Universe news. As far as general news goes, Batman director has confirmed, and Matt Reeve has confirmed, that John Turturro has been cast as Carmine Falcone in the Batman trilogy.
I find this casting fascinating.
Yes. For those who don't know, we'll get into that in just a second, where he comes from. I know him best personally from Agent Simmons on the Transformer in the Michael Bay Transformer series.
Yes.
That's kind of where I know him the most from.
Yeah, that's something I remember him best
from. And
he did
a great job in that, by the way. But that's me.
Yeah, you can say what you want about the Transformers movies, but yeah, he pretty much was really cool in most of his appearances.
Yeah.
Let's see, what else has he been in?
So why does this fascinate you?
I know I've seen him in things other than Transformers. I just can't remember off the top of my head. Maybe in three episodes of Monk.
Yeah, I was looking, myself for what he did, and like I said, once I saw the Transformers, that's kind of like, okay, that's all I really know him from is Transformers. I know he was in the movie Anger Management, which I never saw. He was Pete Hogwallop in Oh Brother Where Art Thou.
Yes.
He was Abner Doubleday in the new Ridiculous Six movie that came out in 2016. He was
Jesus Quintana in The Big Lebowski.
Okay.
Which I haven't seen either, but at least that's something that I've at least heard of.
Okay.
But
other than that,
Quiz Show.
Other than that, those are really like the only episodes that shows that I know him from. So.
He was in Do the Right Thing. He was in The Sicilian. Oh, he was in Color of Money.
Really?
Yeah.
Huh. Okay.
Oh, and Desperately Seeking Susan. That's where I remember him from.
Desperately Seeking Susan?
Yes.
Okay.
1985 movie with Madonna.
Okay.
Yeah. So...
Well, I'm interested in it. I like the cast that they're building for this series. I think it's going to be great. I think I think Matt Reeves is picking some great quality actors for what he's needing.
Agreed.
So I'm looking forward to that. Just in other news, John Barrowman, and we know he's not really on Arrow anymore now, but he was rushed to the hospital after a severe neck injury the other day.
Yeah, and I've been seeing posts from him and his, I think it's husband, most of this weekend talking about, he's had to cancel a couple of concerts.
Right.
But
he did, yeah.
They did some kind of procedure, which has basically alleviated a lot of the pain.
Right.
And, apparently he's able to move now. So
that's good.
That's good.
That's really good. I liked his video that he had posted on Instagram. He had a Star Wars pillow behind his head. I thought that was funny.
He always has a Star Wars pillow. He travels with that pillow.
I know. I just think it's funny every time I see it. But yeah, he here hopes to a speedy recovery, and
agreed.
And so we can get him back on another episode or something down the line. I don't know.
Or maybe get him on back onto Doctor Who.
Never seen it. All right. I know, I'm uncultured.
I wasn't going to say it.
So, all right. Well, that's all of our news. It's been a very short news week. There has not been a lot of news. I'm pretty sure that probably next week we're going to get more news than normal, with it being Crisis next week. So we'll probably get a lot of DC TV news about so-and-so or so-and-so. Mm-hmm. So there may be a lot of speculation and news next week. But since there's no more news, we're going to go ahead and head into our DC TV discussion. All right, so here's the thing, y'all. There was no Supergirl last week, and there was no Batwoman last week. And that actually really helped me, because I had a lot of other stuff I had to watch. Because of the holidays and stuff, so I'm kind of glad I didn't have two more things to watch.
But they're back tonight.
They are back tonight, and every show is back tonight.
Everything is back tonight.
That's right.
Yay!
Oh, and just to give a, I want to kind of, if y'all could bear with me, I want to kind of look at this Crisis Infinite Earth schedule, so that you guys kind of know what we're going to be doing here as far as what's going to take place. So as far as which shows we're going to be covering next week. Supergirl, Batwoman, and The Flash will be next week for Crisis. Okay? But then Arrow and Legends of Tomorrow will come back in January to finish it off. So keep those things in mind, everybody. All right. I don't know if we're going to have Black Lightning next week.
I don't know.
That'd be a good thing to kind of know, wouldn't it?
Yeah, it would be a good thing. I'm trying to look here. I don't know if assuming my app works.
I would assume you wouldn't have Black Lightning next week, with Crisis being so big.
It's saying we're getting Black Lightning in 8 days. So
okay, so I know we have one. Okay, so then I mean, we must have one next week. Okay, that's
yeah,
fine.
So we must, yeah.
That's not a problem at all. So okay, but speaking of Black Lightning, Carrie, time to move on into our DC TV discussion.
Well, we already moved into
it. Okay, we did.
But okay.
But I had to put some music somewhere.
Well, that's true.
Okay. So no Supergirl again, no Batwoman, but Black Lightning Season 3, Episode 7, The Book of Resistance, Chapter 7, Henderson's Opus. Anissa and Jefferson have a heart-to-heart, and she tells him she needs Black Lightning's help in escorting Meta refugees out of the perimeter. Gambi implores Lynn to help him get access to the pit, and Jennifer grows closer to Brandon. I just had to say, I told you, Odell isn't dead.
Damn it!
Did you really think he was going to be dead, though? He died too simply.
I hoped he would be dead. I hoped that the Major was lying because she is a vicious thing I can't say on this.
Yeah.
While we're recording,
I have a theory that she is behind everything, not Odell, and she's in league with the Markovians for some way, for some reason. Maybe she
that could be...
she is going. Maybe she started the war. Odell maybe really is fighting the war, but the Major is the one.
One of them is.
Huh?
One of them is.
One of them is. And I think it's Odell is really trying to fight the war, but the Major is the one who's gone back behind his back and is really in league with the Markovians.
Either that, or she just is on a Major power trip and wants to make sure she rubs it in everyone's face, which... you know, we don't see that happen ever.
Oh, she is on a huge
sarcasm
power trip right now.
She is on a huge power trip. By the way, and this isn't something we normally get into what on the network and while we're recording, but it shouldn't be lost on anyone that most of the people in that raiding party were white.
Yes.
And they were, you know, beating down the doors of in a mostly black city. And that scared the crap out of me.
Yeah. And the force by which they were doing it was was definitely
definitely that stuff you've seen on videos posted to YouTube.
Yeah.
So
Black Lightning, the show, is holding no punches in and
oh no, it's totally not,
and showing out what's going on right now in our society too.
Yeah.
So
which is one of the things I very much appreciate about the show.
So why do you think Jennifer is really wanting Jace the info on Dr. Jace?
Because I think she wants to help Brandon.
Do you think that's the only motive, or do you think there's an ulterior motive?
I don't know. I would think I personally would think that after what the ASA did the last episode to her dad, that I would not be working with him anymore.
Yeah.
Unless she is trying to play both sides.
I think she could be playing both sides.
I think she could be playing the ASA, which would be also interesting.
I did like her and Brandon getting together as far as and her working with him. I find him to be a fascinating character.
Yeah, me too.
I'm wondering if he sticks around and they get Khalil back to the where Khalil needs to be, the original Khalil, somehow.
Mm-hmm.
That's going to be an interesting dynamic between Brandon, Khalil, and Jennifer.
Agreed.
So we do know that they find Khalil in the pit, Gambi and Lindu. Gambi says, pull the plug, kill him now. Lin says, no, he is still in there. So here's the question. The question on everybody's mind. Did Lin make the right choice? Who was right in this? Should they pull the plug? Now, I'm not saying it's right to pull the plug on a human life before you throw me under the bus and that kind of thing. But understand where Khalil is coming from. Khalil is not in control of his body anymore. He is pretty much like a machine right now. He is completely programmed. So should they have pulled the plug? Because is this going to come back to bite Lin?
I think it's going to depend on whether or not Lin is successful in deprogramming Khalil and what Khalil does if and when he gets deprogrammed.
I think if he gets deprogrammed, he's going to go on a rampage against the ASA because Odell, and he's going after Odell because Odell gave him the order to kill his mom. And I think once he finds that out, I think that's how they're going to write him off the script, is they're going to have him go after Odell, and he's going to get killed while trying to get Odell.
Or he takes his revenge on Odell and he comes back from that, or they get to him before he takes it on Odell. I don't know.
I don't know either. It's nice to speculate though a little bit.
It is.
So did you? Okay. So the ASA agent that kind of went off on his own, he got killed.
Did he get killed?
That was
killed?
The one that we got killed by in
Is that the one Grace?
Yes.
Ate?
That's why. Aww. I was like, okay, it's like they wanted to do something with him, but they didn't. That was him. Because I think he went looking for Grace.
Sucks.
I think he went looking for Grace to try to really help. I think he was starting to really his conscience was actually working on his line, working on him.
Yeah.
And he was gonna go help, but Grace got him. So it's just like that.
I completely missed that part, but yeah, ooh,
yeah.
You know, if they keep killing off the ones that are actually having second thoughts, that's not good.
Mm. Yeah, I agree. So, by the way, I just want everybody out there to know that as I'm recording this right now, I'm watching Sports Balls, and one of the commercial breaks is going right now, and it's the Rise of Skywalker TV spot. So I'm mesmerized. I'm mesmerized by lightsabers right now. So I'm trying to record.
I see nothing. I hear nothing.
But speaking of somebody who's mesmerized, Carrie, why don't you talk a little bit about The Flash?
Oh, yes. Okay. The Flash, Season 6, Episode 7, The Last Temptation of Barry Allen, Part 1. As Barry stands on the threshold of his impending death in crisis, his convictions are tested when the monstrous Dr. Ramsey Rosso infects the Flash with a mysterious hallucinogenic contagion. Meanwhile, Iris uncovers a vast conspiracy, and Nash Wells does some Nash Wellsy type thing.
Yes. This is the last episode before crisis.
Last two episodes
before crisis.
Because we have to get through part 2.
That's right. Because next week is going to be The Flash as well, isn't it? Yes, this week is going to be Flash. That's right. So the last two episodes.
Yeah.
Ralph springing the car. That was pretty cool. He formed it like a spring.
That was cool.
Though I did feel bad for the people way down yonder down the alley that probably got hit by the car.
I'm sure he made sure there was no one there. Maybe.
It was nice to see Caitlin back again.
I missed
her this season, even though it was for a short time.
Yeah, I like what they've been doing with Frost.
Yeah.
I like that they are kind of giving her her own agency. I don't know. I'd like to see them share a little more.
Right. I missed the dual.
It's
screen
weird.
Time.
It's weird, but that with them having the same body and stuff, kind of like a different episode we're going to be talking about later today.
Yeah.
Later.
I have a question.
Yeah.
Who changed Ralph's clothes?
Not going there. Not going there.
So let's talk about this blood transfusion. So Barry offers to give some of his blood to Ralph because he has speed healing.
Well, yeah.
And right there, I'm thinking about it. So he gives him the transfusion, and he goes back home. He looks exhausted, looks tired. And I wrote all my notes. Do you think some of Ramsey's blood stayed in Ralph, and when Barry did the transfusion, it traveled into his body, and this is what's happening? And then I said, boom,
wow.
I called that for the commercial break. And then when we got back for commercial...
I didn't even think of that as a possibility until Ramsey admitted to it. And
I just thought it was so funny.
Then,
I was like,
yes. I was just like, this is some bleeped up dream.
Some
that,
messed up dream.
That Barry's having.
Oh. So while he's dreaming, who shows up as the Speed Force?
Barry's mom
shows up.
I love that the Speed Force takes the form of Nora West. That's really, really cool. I also thought it was really cool that the Speed Force's lightning during that tug of war looked like Nora's.
That was really cool. It was cool to see Nora
again,
really
cool.
Although it was not how we used to seeing Nora.
Yeah.
Poor Barry though, man, in that dream, dude, He had it rough. I could feel the emotions on him.
I mean, he's not wrong.
Yeah.
He's not wrong.
No.
But it's what he chooses to do with that knowledge that is going to make or break him. And, you know, he is having basically a crisis of faith right now.
Right. Well, he's got to have. I like the way they titled this episode, "The Last Temptation," because I think Barry has to have an inner crisis of his own person before he can deal with the crisis that's external.
Right.
He's got to know, why am I going into this crisis? What am I going to do in this crisis?
Mm-hmm.
But he's got to know in his own life, how do I feel about these things before it even takes place? So I am glad that they put this like right before, even though I'm glad I watched this before. A couple days before I had Thanksgiving dinner, because that junk was nasty.
Ooh, yeah, that was gross. They've been pretty upfront with the idea that Barry's going to die in crisis.
Yeah.
How permanent that's going to be, I don't know.
No, they said the Flash is going to die, not Barry.
They've said the Flash is going to die. How permanent that's going to be, again, we don't know. What I am thinking back to, not having just finished reading Crisis on Infinite Earths, is that Barry Allen in Crisis died and nobody knew what that had happened.
Right. He had ran himself out and pretty much like when you saw Wally on Young Justice. He ran so fast, he just kind of evaporated.
Yeah. And nobody knew he died for like 3 issues.
Right. Nobody's like, well, where's the Flash? Where's the Flash?
Yeah.
So, yep. I agree.
Until the Antimatter just admitted that he killed the Flash. That's when Wally becomes the Flash.
And there is some people that have a theory going around that the Flash will die, kind of like the Flash will lose his powers. He'll have to give up his powers doing something. He'll still be Barry. Mm-hmm. That's why they've been wrestling with the season, showing that, you know, Barry is just as important as the Flash himself. Because Barry, you know, that's why they gave him credit for like a CSI and that kind of thing, because he is just as important to the person as the Flash is. So he gives up his powers of the Flash, but eventually he'll get them back.
Well, but also that was also for Barry's benefit, because he spent a lot of the season preparing everyone for a world without the Flash.
Right.
Not thinking of the fact that Barry Allen is also going to be gone, and his absence from Central City will also have an impact on things.
Right. So the Flash persona itself could be gone, but maybe Barry could still be there. What a lot of people are hypothesizing. So we got to see Nora again. Didn't think we'd get to see Velocity X.
I didn't realize Cisco still had that stuff.
So he had 3 syringes of them thing hidden up in a pinball machine. And he, like, knew exactly what was going on with that. He knew exactly what to get.
I think he was a bit desperate.
Right, he was trying to jump start Barry. To at least keep Ramsey away.
Well, they didn't know. I don't think they knew what was going on inside Ramsey.
Right. And then I wrote on here, Barry chose Ramsey, not his mom or the Speed Force. Boom, called it. I mean, I knew it when he came back. Because you can't have a part 1 and a part 2 with him choosing his mom. I mean, that's just not...
True.
I mean, the way they wrote it, you could see him choosing Ramsey. You could see his walls breaking down.
We'll have to wait until Tuesday to find out, but I'm not sure it may have been just, you know, a moment of weakness choice, but I'm also not sure that Barry chose. I mean, they were pretty evenly matched in there.
Right, but remember, it had to be his choice. It had to be, because they were both fighting for him, but he had to choose. If he chose the Speed Force, then Ramsey would have been gone. So,
right.
Iris, man, having to write that article.
I mean,
I get it, but man, that's tough.
It was tough, yeah. And I would not want to be in that position ever, but...
I did like the way that her intern, I can't remember her name now, was like the last one in that little group of three.
Allegra.
Yeah. Of like the last one in the group of three. We should go talk to your husband's friend. And she says, oh, you're talking about her husband, the Flash. Cool, yeah. I know he's a Flash. She's like, I'm not like the last one to find out, really? It's just.
Yeah, well, thank you, Nick.
Yeah. It was funny, though. Anything else about this episode?
Okay, so. Maelstrom, Leviathan, I think they're connected to Crisis somehow. If they're not, then they're connected to whatever's going on for the rest of the season. But
maybe
that's just my
maybe
guess.
Maybe Leviathan gets their strength and Maelstrom gets their strength in Crisis
from
somehow.
The
maybe they help the Anti-Monitor. Because you know who we haven't seen this entire season?
Who?
Psycho Pirate.
Well, we haven't seen him since Elseworlds.
Right. But we know he's around, and we know the Anti-Monitor is going to use him.
Maybe.
So we saw him grab the mask.
Do we know that he's supposed to be in Crisis?
Yeah, he's in the issue in the comics.
I know he's in the comics, but do we know he's going to be in the crossover?
I would think he would be.
Well, I guess we'll find out.
Sure will.
So, did you get a good look at the symbols on that wall?
So, I hunted the internet this week after I watched this episode. For what those symbols mean, and I could not find...
You couldn't find anything?
Yeah. I couldn't find anything.
Okay, so one looks like Barry's mask, or maybe Ray's helmet.
Okay.
One is definitely an arrowhead.
Okay.
One is either a tuning fork or the lightning symbol on Jeff's new suit. And I don't know about the other ones, but those are the ones I picked out that went okay.
Okay.
Maybe that's supposed to be the Monitor's ship.
Okay. I don't...
Instead of it being out in space somewhere, maybe it's under Central City.
Okay, I'm looking at the symbols right now. I pulled them up. Okay. And I typed it in again, and somebody finally wrote an article.
Uh-huh.
A lot of people think it has to do with the tuning forks that you see... Or the, like, kind of like you said, the tuning forks, but the giant ones that are inside the comics throughout time and space to prevent a merger.
Oh.
Groups of them were there to create it. The second from the left looks like they said the Monitor itself, the three lines at the top, meaning at the point like his hair, and the sides, the icon resembling his mutton chop sideburns. Next one, like you said, looks like the Atom, the Atom's helmet. Let me see. The third icon.
One of them almost looks like it could be a Kryptonian symbol, but it's not.
The third one they said looks like the three overlapping worlds. And that's on the Crisis. Because remember, you're going to have the Anti-Monitor. Spoiler alert, if you have not read the Crisis, the Anti-Monitor is going to wipe out everything but five Earths. And then it's going to go down to three Earths. And those three Earths are going to be merged. And then they're going to stop those three Earths from merging. They're going to merge time and space. And they're going to be kind of like together. Like they're going to be on top of one another, those three Earths. So it's going to go down to three. We know that.
Mm-hmm. And eventually go down to one.
Right. But until you get to the end, they're three Earths trying to wrestle for one spot. One of them looks vaguely like the symbol of the Indigo Lantern Tribe.
There's the one that I thought looked like a Kryptonian symbol. Actually looks like something from the wall of the cave in Smallville.
Ooh. So maybe they're gonna go back to that cave for Crisis. That'd be really cool.
Maybe.
That'd be cool. So, I did see that until just now. I didn't realize what was on there, so I'm glad that somebody finally wrote an article. That's really cool.
Yeah. And then Frost is definitely not okay with Caitlin having to take on the medical responsibilities.
Oh, heck no. And nope. Frost is definitely not okay with what's going on either.
Oh, no,
personally,
she's not.
And emotionally, she is struggling hard. She's suffering.
She hasn't been able to have these emotions.
Right.
So.
Anyways, so then we saw Barry wreck everybody and fly out. All right.
Yes.
Arrow, season 8, episode 6, reset. Oliver is faced with a life or death situation after being double crossed by Lila. Laurel has an opportunity to make amends. And talk about a bad hangover. Groundhog Day, Arrow style.
Yep, we are doing a time loop, Arrow style. This is good.
I liked the way that they set him and Laurel up as the two people to finally figure things out. That was good.
Yeah. And I'm glad that it gave them both a chance to deal with their issues and what they were still hanging on to. But can we please stop killing Quentin? He's not Kenny.
No,
bastard.
He just gets dying and dying and dying.
I know.
In different ways, too.
Yes. Yeah, this is like Quentin's like the South, is like the Kenny of the Arrowverse.
Right. So, I mean, it was. I don't know how to describe this episode. So, the whole premise was it's not that you have to save Quentin Lance. The whole episode is deal with your issues. Hit a reset.
Yes.
Laurel needed to deal with being able to let go of Quentin and
Oliver needed to accept his
fate.
To accept that there are some things he cannot
fight.
Right.
He can have as much faith as he wants to, but there's something he just cannot fight. He's got to deal with it.
Yeah.
I did like the way Laurel looked at Lila and said, and by the way, I pull off shorter hair better than you. The fight is on. Laurel's inevitable circumstance was that she had to say goodbye to Lance, like we already said, because he has to die.
Yeah.
And Oliver has to come to grips
Oliver has to come to grips with the fact that there are some things he just can't fight.
Right.
Which, you know, we all know that Oliver is very, very good at fighting his fate whenever he can.
Yeah.
So he's finally learning to let go of things he's afraid to lose. See what I did there? And by the way, not only did Lila put them back on Lian Yu, she put them within spitting distance of Deathstroke's prison. I wonder why.
I don't know. I don't know if he's. I don't think he's still in there. He's not, because remember he came out.
Oh, that's right. They got him.
That's
out.
Right. They got him out, and he was killed, I believe.
And they let him. They let him. Oliver let him go free. That's right.
That's right.
But. But that's not the only person that I don't remember who else is down there. But
who could be in that prison if it's not Deathstroke?
Interesting.
We'll find out here in a couple weeks.
We shall find out. Yes.
All right.
Actually, we'll find out this week
in a couple days.
That's
right. All right.
All right.
Well, I read that last one.
All right.
So we are going to talk about this next one, but guys, just kind of be forewarned. It's okay. we're going to be as kind as we can, and we're going to try to keep it PG.
Well, we're not sure.
Right. For the first time,
me
nor Carrie are really sure about this next show. If we like it, we'll keep going. But if we're sounding like, okay, I'm not really sure about this. I'm not a huge fan of it. I don't personally see the need of us covering it continuously, but we can.
But you know, keep in mind, as I pointed out to Mike before we started recording, we had the same feelings about Titans and
Doom Patrol, and it got good.
And Swamp Thing,
right?
So,
with an open mind.
So we can stop being around the bush, and we're talking about Harley Quinn season 1 episode 1, Till Death Do Us Part.
By the way, this is a rated R show, so this is not a show to watch.
Do not let the kids watch
around
this show.
Anybody else but yourself.
So, in the series premiere, Harley Quinn is fed up with being the Joker's sidekick and strikes out on her own, determined to become the criminal queenpin of Gotham City. Nice.
Okay.
Like I said, I am very much still on the fence. I felt like they took too long to get to the point where Harley realized that she had to leave the Joker.
Okay.
But I think that was kind of the point.
Yeah.
Where they had to get her into the headspace where she was psychoanalyzing herself.
Yeah.
And realizing that getting her to the point where she had to convince herself that she could make it on her own. And unfortunately and fortunately, it took most of the entire episode to do that.
It felt like it took like 18 minutes out of the 22 minutes to get to that point. Right. Even with Frank's help.
Right. And I get from just watching it, I can get that, yeah, it took a long time for that to happen, but if you're, you know, inside Harley's head, which is a very, very
scary place to be,
very scary place to be, I can get why it took so long for everyone to convince Harley that what they were saying was right. So while it took too long for us, it took just the right amount of time for Harley.
I mean, you think it took over a year for Ivy and everybody else to convince her he's not coming, he does not care about you.
Yeah, yeah.
It was a lot more violent than I thought it was going to be.
Yes.
I mean, I'm thinking some violence here and there. I'm not expecting I feel like every scene was somebody's getting bashed in or heads exploding or something.
I wasn't expecting quite as much gross anatomy as we saw in this episode, but I can get over if this is how things are going to happen.
I was expecting language because obviously it's rated R, but man, I was not expecting personally the language I heard. I was like, whoa, that's a lot of language in this show. So, it is definitely not child-friendly. Although...
No, it's definitely not child-friendly.
Although the Deadpool parents would probably let their kids watch it.
Parents who let their kids watch Deadpool are probably going to let their kids watch
Absolutely.
This.
Parent of the year.
I'm not condoning
right.
it.
Right. Parent of the year. Right. Commissioner Gordon looks very rough.
He looks like he is very much fed up with all of the...
Just everything. Just everything. He's just fed up with everything.
Everything.
We know that Batman does bats.
No, he doesn't. But okay.
I will say, that was the funniest part of the episode to me was Batman, come on. And Harley's like, come on, we know you do. Even though we know you do this. Oh!
By the way, the voice cast for this is amazing.
Absolutely.
Mark Hamill is the number one Joker voice ever. But there were times when Alan Tudyk sounded so much like Mark Hamill, it was kind of scary. Yeah.
My last note about the show is, I'm not sure. So.
Yeah, me
again,
either.
We have another episode or two before we kind of really make a big decision about it. But anyways, so Carrie, ready to talk? Do we want to split these two up or just talk about them all together? Just hit this first.
Let's just talk about them all together.
Right. Let's talk about Titan season 2 episode 12, Faux Hawk, which is while Hank is busy cage fighting after breaking up with Dawn, someone steals the Hawk suit. Donna and Dawn find a way to rescue Gar from the Cadmus facility. Rose reveals her secret to Jason. Dick escapes from prison to find Jericho. in episode 13, entitled Nightwing, The Titans Battle Deathstroke, and More. This is the penultimate episode and also the season finale. All right. Mm-hmm. So we find out that Jericho is inside Slade's head.
Yes.
That's very interesting.
Very, very strange.
How come he's never taken over Slade?
He's been trying. I mean, he tried to get his dad to go play in traffic.
To go count bumpers.
Yeah.
And then, dude, please, somebody help Gar.
Yes. Stop messing with Gar.
Poor Gar's killing people. He doesn't want to.
No. And Gar is like a vegetarian most of the time. In most iterations of his character, and they're having him eat people.
I know.
It's really sad.
I did love Donna and Dawn's interrogation scene in Faux Hawk when they were interrogating the guy. That was pretty funny.
That was cool.
Can I just say that I appreciate the fact that we got DMX is going to make me lose my mind for the cage mac.
Yeah, so Hank leaves the Titans to become a cage fighter.
And when he's on drugs.
He goes back on... Obviously, it's to get back on... Because he's back on
That's
drugs.
That's right.
Right. Deathstroke thinks the Titans are psychopaths. Pot kettle much?
Absolutely. I do like the sister dynamic between Rachel and Corey.
I do,
That's
too.
Very, very
that
good.
That is awesome.
We also got to the fact that Jason and Rose can only play House so long because we finally got Rose's backstory. They enjoy their time, but they can only play it for so long. I mean, it was inevitable.
I think Jason didn't like the idea that she was lying to him.
Right. Which brings me to my point. I feel so bad for Jason. I really do feel bad for.
I really do too.
He was treated by crap like the Titans and Rose.
Yeah.
Which brings me to my theory. I think because we do see him in the final and in the season finale where he's just driving off. He didn't even come to anything. He saw it, but then he just drove off. I think this is what could be turns him towards becoming the Red Hood, like in the comics.
Yeah, and my theory is that if we could get the Red Hood without Jason having to die first, that might be nice.
That'd be very good.
Because, you know, dying and coming back to life is... That makes...
Yep.
That really messes with your
head. It really does. Dawn kicked the crap out of Hank. And that was pretty good.
That was a dream.
It was a dream, but it was still pretty cool.
But yes. It was.
Bruce goes to... Not Bruce, but Dick goes to Stu. And he says, I need a new suit. And he's mad because he burned the Robin suit.
Beg.
He has to beg for it.
Well,
and then he's...
and Stu already had the suit
right,
made.
He said, Master Wayne said you'd be coming. Of course he did.
We have a suit.
And we'll
that we don't get to see until the next
episode. And we're
going to
talk about that too. Can we just acknowledge the fact, and I want to give a personal shout out to the guy doing laundry in the laundromat in his underwear.
Wow. May I never be that desperate.
Oh. The guy in the Nirvana shirt that stole his suit. He really needed that talk with Hank. Hank really needed that.
Apparently.
Again,
apparently.
Help Hank. Or help Gar.
Help.
Anything else about this?
Helpful.
Yeah, helpful. So anything about that episode and as we move into the final episode, the season finale?
Yes. Okay. So... Season 2, episode 13, Nightwing!
Right. And there goes Walter. Walter's dead.
Bye, Walter.
No, Gar, not the carnival.
But Gar and Connor both kind of did that.
Well, Gar did it, and then Connor was sent there as a... as a public display.
To clean up,
right.
Yes. Nightwing really knows how to make an entrance.
Tight butt and all. By the way, that is America's new butt. Just saying.
That is America's ass.
Yes. Right. He takes that title.
But was it really a good idea for the rest of them to just sit there and watch the fight while there's mayhem going on? Seriously?
No.
No, they should have backed out and
we're gonna let Nightwing fight this.
They had Dick on comms, right?
Yeah. And look,
maybe
as Nightwing, definitely you saw some of the circus acrobatics coming out in the new suit.
Oh yeah.
He did so much better in this fight than he did in the Robin outfit.
Oh yeah.
It was great.
Yeah. Well, and that's what Stu was going for in with this suit anyway. Right. So,
and that fight came really quick in the episode, and it came really mm-hmm. hard. It was a good fight, though. I will say I am a little disappointed how quickly it is over. But I know that they have to begin moving forward with the whole Cadmus and Blackfyre storyline. So mm-hmm. I knew
Agreed.
They kind of had to move it
plus
and go on.
Plus, we have a whole new definition of sibling bonding.
Yes. Do you think we're done seeing Rose?
No, I think we see Rose and Jericho sharing the same, getting to know each other, hanging out together, very very strangely, and that they're going to be in the Titans from now on. I mean they were there at the end.
Yep.
Where it was Jason was the one who was driving off.
Right.
So the
Deathstroke was pretty cool, that fight. And then we moved into the next major fight, which was at the carnival. And I love how when Corey, Donna, and Dawn are looking at Connor, they're like, well, somebody has to go over there and talk to him. Why don't you go, Donna? And they say, just because someone is Kryptonian and none of the Themyscira does not mean they will relate.
Except that they're the two that are most evenly
exactly.
matched. So if Connor does start throwing punches, as he does, Donna at least can take the hit.
That's...
Apparently, Corey can't take the hit with her powers being on the fritz. Which, what is up with that?
I don't know. It has something to do with her sister. I think there's a mental block.
I think so too. Because I'm thinking back to other iterations of Titans, specifically the animated show. Starfire and Raven, their powers are both tied to their emotions in different aspects. If Corey is out of sorts, her powers are probably on the fritz because of that.
Yes. I see that. That's true. I still think there is a good mental block in her mind right now.
I hope that gets resolved.
I hope so as well. Let's see. I'm glad to see Hank and loved his entrance, even if it didn't work. this quote: "Things are about to get ugly out here. You're not going to make fun of my suit? Already did." I love that chemistry between Dick and Hank. It's just great.
Yeah, that was great.
And I did love the fact that Bruce hacked Cadmus' computers while drinking tea and listening to classical music.
Because of course he would. And of course he disguised his voice, so of course they don't know that that was him.
Right.
I'm guessing they think it's probably Batman, but you know.
Right. I have a Stranger Things vibe when Dick is in Connor's mind.
Yeah, me too. Although I was really afraid that Connor was going to do something, and Dick was not going to survive.
Right, I did like that he
but
just.
I'm glad that'll work
I like that
out.
He just punched into the black and like knocked off the and opened up some light. That was really
yeah.
cool.
Yeah.
So then we get a death. So we get two deaths this episode. Deathstroke dies.
Mm-hmm.
And then we get Donna gets killed.
Mm-hmm.
So David in Discord had an issue with him killing off Donna. However, I'm okay because her story arc was over, and I think she died in an honorable way.
Well, she died trying to save
right.
people, trying to save
right.
Dawn.
And it was an honorable way to die. But I think her arc was
yeah.
the Deathstroke arc. I don't think there was, but I will say. I don't think anybody's ever really gone because she is going to Themyscira, and there's no telling what Wonder Woman or anybody else over there have that could really help her.
And Rachel's going with her, and Rachel is convinced that she can help.
Right. So I don't think she's ever really dead. But as far as David said, have they ever really brought anybody back? Well, yeah, Thea Queen, Roy Harper, and the CW shows, they all came back from the dead.
Malcolm Merlyn.
Laurel.
Damian Dark, Thawne.
Laurel came back with Bloodlust, but yeah, Laurel came back.
Sarah came back. Yeah.
So a lot of people
brought back.
And then his question was, what about movies? Well, Superman. The whole thing of the Snyder Cut was Superman died and came back. So.
Well, yeah. Well, that was with the Justice League too, but you know. Yeah.
Right. No, nobody's ever really gone. I still see her coming back in the future.
These are comic books. No one ever dies. Even if you see a body, they're not dead. They could get better.
Right. I can still see her coming here, coming back. I don't think she's done on the show. I think her arc is done here, but I think she'll be back. Plus, we have to know because Rachel is going with her, so we know Rachel's going to get her back. Jason.
Well, and I think Rachel's also going to try to get a handle of her powers.
Yes, and I think the best place she can go to is probably Themyscira, where she can train, but also meditate and try to figure out how to kind of control. Right. So I think that's a perfect place for her to go, is Themyscira.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe, hopefully, it'd be really cool if it's in season 3, we get a Themyscira view. That'd be pretty cool. So, anything else about this episode for you?
I knew there was something off about that meeting with Bruce Wayne.
So it was not really, it was all Rachel.
I knew it.
Wow. Rachel was
what?
Good.
If Rachel needs to mess with someone's head, she can do it.
Heck yeah, she's got it. I love Dick and Bruce's interactions this entire season. I thought they grew, their arcs grew together. I would love to get more Bruce in this show. I don't want Batman. I just want Bruce.
I would be okay with just Bruce. I would be okay with an appearance of Batman. I thought it was perfect.
I think the wisdom of seeing
him handle the batarangs, that was enough.
I feel like the wisdom of Bruce is better to me than getting a guy in a suit.
Yes, especially considering that we all know that Bruce has his own problems.
Yes. I did like at the dinner, though, when they're all talking and they're like, wait a minute, that wasn't Bruce. Bruce was there. And then who was it? Corey looked at her and said, do you want to take it up with Batman?
Yeah, exactly.
That was funny. So Rachel had to meet. So what are the legal repercussions for Gar and Connor? Because Gar and Connor had hurt a bunch of people. There's got to be something going on. Or Bruce bailed them out somehow.
I'm pretty sure Bruce is handling it.
Yeah.
Bruce and or the Justice League is handling it.
Probably.
The Justice League probably has a legal department
as somewhere. Maybe he used the general from Iron Man. There were some complications on a training exercise, and
right.
No, that's funny. Right. I did like how the go and ahead.
And then we have Blackfire is on Earth, kind of sort of.
Crap. That's all I put there was just crap. She's back. I did like how the last closing credits song was "We Are Family." That was cool. That was cool.
Yeah.
Well, anything else, though, then, Carrie, about this episode?
No, I think that's pretty much it. We've gone on much longer than I thought.
Oh, I haven't looked at the recording. Wow, it's only under an hour.
Yeah. True.
All right. Well, y'all, this has been DC Talk with Mike. I forgot my own name. Isn't that funny?
You're distracted by sports balls.
I am distracted by sports balls. My team is losing. So this has been DC Talk with Mike and Carrie. And until next time, woohoo!
That's not.
We'll see y'all later.
Bye, guys.
Night.